even the one. Hang on.
You feel the shadows deep.
Now.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows? Is anyone?
hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. Oh my goodness, he is worthy, you guys. He is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll. Isn't that a beautiful song? Amen. Right, Tammy? Isn't that awesome?
Absolutely.
And yes. That's such a blessed song. Such a blessed song. So the first one I was playing was actually the karaoke version. So if you wanted to go on and actually sing it, that's what I've been singing. I've been practicing it. Maybe if I can, I'm going to actually sing it for you guys one day. And so anyway, I just love that. I love songs that use the word, because that's really what this is the culmination of our study of end times and 1,000 years of peace. He is the one who's worthy to do this, to save us from our enemies. And this is the whole point of the end time study. Of course, that verse is in Revelation 5:5. Okay, there you go, 5:5. And you guys know that this is up on my ceiling, on my wall, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah triumphed. He is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. So clearly, I'm in love with that verse, because it shows how Jesus is rescuing us from our strong enemies. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and just so many great words to that song. So today, Tammy, you ready? We're going to do, actually, I messed up. I told you guys we were doing actually the chapter 25, but we did not finish chapter 23 last time. We did not finish. Am I right? Is that the one? No, the Gog and Magog. Chapter 24. We did not finish the Gog and Magog. So that's what we're going to do today. So back up in your books if you haven't. Hopefully you already finished that from last week, so you're ready to go on that. And so just a refresher. If you remember that the Gog and Magog battle, that is after the 1,000 years of peace on earth. If you haven't seen that, definitely go back and watch the videos. You can find them over on freedomforce.live, freedomforce.live, and you can go onto the videos page right here. Let me see if I can pull it up right here, video playlists, and you can search just a little bit down right here. It's called Bible Live End Times Group Study, and you can catch up on any of the videos that you might have missed. Let me just scroll down, and I'll show you the very last one that we did, which was study number 25, and it was actually on chapter 24 in the book. Okay, so we got about halfway through, and it was just so much, and we did not want to rush, because this is a topic that is not talked about very often in the church. They don't really talk about the Gog and Magog battle. They talk about the Battle of Armageddon. And so we want to know, well, what is this Gog and Magog battle? Because once you see that placed after the 1,000 years of peace, then you realize that where we are right now in the timeline of history is that we are literally fighting the battle of between good and evil, the Battle of Armageddon. So there you go. So you said we stopped at number 15, Miss Tammy? All right, so before you do anything else, go ahead and hit that like button, everybody, and make sure that you are subscribed and that you always have the bell rung so you know when we're going live. We did a couple of interesting things this week. We did a live with Tom Renz, and so if you missed that, definitely go back and catch that one. We have another video that's coming out today. We've got lots of good things going on. I really feel like that this is the day, it's time for people to know this truth. So keep praying. The Lord is doing amazing things, right, Tammy?
Yes.
We're pretty excited.
He is.
He is. Right. All right. He is worthy. All right. So now, and you can also, if you wanted to, you can always listen to the audiobooks over on freedomforce.live. You can listen to the audiobooks. If you really want to catch up and really soak it in and hear it, how it's in my voice, I read all three of the books to you on and you'll see, you can get them over there on that. If you, for those of you who are new, these are the books I'm talking about. This is the book that we're doing here, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. But we're using the study guide. We've got the study guide and the answer key. Hopefully you guys are doing the study guide, so you're actually doing the work yourself. And because it really forces you to know that you really do understand it. And then we also have the book Major Clues for Minor Prophets, which I love the Minor Prophets. And all the Bible stories are playing out before our eyes. So check that out. You can get them for $2.99. All right, now let's get started. Is this the right one right here, number 15? Am I at the right place?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Wait, let me make sure on yours. Yes, Revelation 20:13, yeah.
Yay, okay. So here, the level where we ended was on 14, and it was talking about how the battle was, we had won the victory over sin and death, and our Lord Jesus is, you know, casting out Satan into the abyss and never to come out again, and no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. That's where we are. We're in the book. This is not where we are in history right now. That's 1,000 years from now, right? Everybody with me? This is 1,000 years from now. And of course, our Lord Jesus is the sitting on this great white throne. He's, I'll read that last passage, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. So we'll just kind of catch up with where we were. I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. Thank you. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you. Pray for us before we get started. I've already prayed. I've already worshiped the Lord, but that's okay. We can pray some more, right? I'm up for it. Go ahead.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just love you and we praise you. We just come here again today to hear your word. And we just ask that each person here today that hears your word understands, has a clarity, has a peace at their heart. Touch each one of their hearts, Lord, and let them be able to feel with confidence that what we are hearing and saying from you is coming directly from you, that no voice but yours is here. And we just ask that they take this word, Lord, and send it out in every means possible to anyone, everyone that they can. Yes. And we just ask that you be with Melissa. She continues on this journey. And there's just so many new and exciting things happening here in the new future, Lord. We just ask that our eyes are opened, our hearts are clear, and we're just here with you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so glad we have Tammy. Who's glad we have Tammy to keep me on keep me straight? I love it. I need her to follow me around every day, everywhere I go. Anyway, so why don't you go ahead and read that Revelation 12, 11 through 15 for me?
Okay. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
Right. There you go. This is serious. This is serious. This is after, again, the Gog and Magog battle. But my favorite part of that is that death and the grave are thrown into the lake of fire. You know, we have so much. Praise the Lord. There will be no more death ever after that. This is paradise restored. And I'm going to read to you a little clip today from the book of Adam and Eve, that I think was an ancient text, and it kind of gives some insight and correlates with what we're going to read in Revelation, because there was no death. There was no darkness. They didn't even know what that was. So I want you to really imagine what our Lord Jesus purchased for us. No more false prophet. Praise the Lord. We're soon going to have the false prophet and the beast gone. They'll never come out again, but Satan does come out again. So the Lord Jesus can defeat death. And that's, again, what we talked about last time when we did the first half of this chapter, because it's just a very, very important chapter. I don't want anyone to miss this. all right, so that's what we talked about last week. And then number 15, go ahead and read that for us, please.
Okay. At this point, the demon worshipers are in the abyss. So what happens to the rest of humanity at the white throne judgment? The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds.
All right. Now, all right. Very important, very, very important, because there's a lot of confusion about what happens at the white throne judgment. Okay. So at this point, remember that the ones who've been cast into hell, they're already in hell. That's done. That's a done deal. These people are, as it said in verse 14 and 15, that anyone whose name was not found written or recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Maybe make this a little bit bigger. So I want to make sure that you guys can read that verse, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. So that's it. Everyone who's going to be cast into hell is in hell. So the great white throne judgment is not about determining who's, you know, going to have to be punished in hell. The Lord is not willing, as I just quoted this to Nino yesterday, the Lord is not willing that any should perish in hell, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to go there. This is only reserved for the devil and his angels and those who take in the devil and his angels. Those who of us who, you know, we've made lots of mistakes. Everyone has. We all, hello. And some people deserve more rewards than others. It's just that's clearly in God's word. Some people will be as it says, their deeds will just be like stubble and just everything burned up because it didn't have any effect. And I don't want to be in that camp. I want the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much. You know, I want the Lord to really say, good, you know, give me the thumbs up, good job, girlfriend. And really, it's not, it's the effectiveness is about our faith. You know, I don't have control over pretty much anything. The Lord is the one who's in control. And what he's really looking at to determine the rewards is your faith, your faithfulness to him. And he looks at the heart. I keep saying that, and I sound like a broken record, but it really is true. And it's important that we don't judge things the way man judges, but we judge the way the Lord judges. Amen, Tammy?
Amen.
Amen, everybody on the chat. Yes. All right. So the sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and everyone was judged according to their deeds. Okay. Their deeds, you get to determine, you know, and actually, you know what? I might pull up this verse, and that's a very good idea that I pull this into this chapter because it says wood, hay, and stubble. I don't think I have that verse in here, do I? But I'm going to do that super quick because I want to make sure that you guys see that verse in the Bible. I just actually just thought of that. And let's make a note that I want to maybe add that to this chapter. Wood, hay, stubble. Let's see if I can find that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There we go. There, I found it. Yay. Thank you, Lord. Here it's, and this is really talking about the great white throne judgment where we will get, find out who's really, you know, been effective in their walk of faith with the Lord. It says in, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 13, no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, hay, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, on this judgment day that we're talking about right here in Revelation 20, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. Have you ever heard that verse before? This is what we want to be found as a servant that has really, you know, done gold work. Work that that benefits humanity. Work that has you know, shows the test of time and is not something that was just burned up. Actually, let me just, I think the next verse in verse 14, here we go. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but some barely escaping through a wall of flames. So again, it's not about hell or heaven, about going to hell or heaven. The great white throne judgment is about your being rewarded for the works. You're like, oh, well, I don't need a reward. Well, we, of course, all the crowns get cast back at our Lord Jesus because he is just the one who's worthy, as we were just singing. You know, he's the one who's bought all this for us. But we want to give him a present that is worthy of him. And we want our lives to be something that that brings him honor. Right? And that's really what the point is. And also that, you know, imagine this is really what you want, is that if you have many people who said, I've came to know the Lord because of your testimony, because of your work. And it might be that you've, you know, spent time sharing the gospel. Maybe the Lord's blessed you with money and you're able to support missions. I mean, whatever it is that the Lord has put in your heart to do, that's the faith. That's the faith. All right, so that's what we're talking about today in this passage. I didn't want anyone to misunderstand. It's not about, judging whether you're hell or heaven. Okay, it's according to the deeds. And don't you think I need to add that passage right here? Mm-hmm. All right, so now Revelation 20, 13, read that one for me in question 16.
Okay, well, I read it in 15. But I can reread it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, and then also, I need to move over here so you can see the next portion. Okay.
But you want me to read it again?
Yeah, just read 16. Yes.
Okay.
Please.
Oh, 16. Revelation 20:13 says, all were judged according to their deeds. How does that square with being justified by faith and not by works?
Right.
So see Romans 5:1, Ephesians 2:8-9, Titus 3:5, and Galatians 2-16.
Very important point. Very important point. There's a lot of confusion about this. People are like, well, you know, am I saved by my works or am I not saved by my works? And it's a complex topic. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that everyone understands that no one is saved based upon their own works, because obviously our works don't stand up to the judgment of God. It's just a fact. None of us, even our best works, do not. The best things that we would do. The only one whose works stand up are the works of our Lord Jesus. He lived the perfect life. He dealt every word, every thought, every deed, every action was perfect. And that's what's so wonderful about putting our faith in Christ, is that all his righteousness, all of his perfection is imputed. That's a Bible word, but it's put on your account. Imagine you have a zero bank account and Jesus puts his babillion dollars, whatever, of righteousness on your account, and that is now in your account. You have a complete full righteousness account accounted to you. I hope that makes sense. This is the miracle. And the Lord Jesus took our sin. It was just the great switcheroo. He says, I'm going to take your sin and you take my righteousness. You know, we focus a lot of times on he took our sin. But I don't think a lot of times we recognize that he has imputed all of his righteousness to us. So that's why we stand blameless, perfect in God's sight. It's an amazing thing. So we know that we are justified by faith in Christ. I like the word justified. You think of it as just as if I'd never sinned, just as if I'd done everything perfect, as if I was Jesus. So when the Father looks at you, he looks at you in the very same way that he looks at Jesus. So think of yourself that way. It's really important. I was just talking to someone yesterday and they were saying, oh, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I'm like, but if you put your faith in Christ, you're not primarily a sinner anymore. You are a new creation. And I want you to think of yourself in that way, because this is the trick. I'll give you a trick right here. When you think of yourself as a new creation in Christ, guess what? You will start to live that out. You will think of yourself the way that the Lord thinks of you, and you will have the power to overcome, because you say, I'm not going to do this, that, and the other. I'm not primarily a sinner. I've been saved. I'm a new creation. Am I right, Tammy?
Yes.
It's hugely important. Hugely important. I hope you guys hear that. That's really important. Think of yourself that way. I literally told this person, because he's was saying, you know, he's kind of been indoctrinated into this thinking. I said, put it on the fridge, put it on wherever you got to put it, so that you will see it and remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Okay. So you know what? I might need to go ahead and read some of these passages that are, you know, about, from like Romans 5:1. Let's go ahead and pull that up super quick. Let's do that one. And so Romans 5:1, this is talking about that we're justified by faith in Christ. Let me see if I can find that one. That's not what I wanted. Let's see. Romans 5:1. There you go. I got to type it right. 5:1. Therefore, since we've been... Go ahead. Say it again.
I was going to say, when I was younger and I would help my grandma, she used to say, Your treasure chest in heaven is getting fuller and fuller every day. And when I was younger, I wasn't quite sure what that meant.
That's a great way to say it. Good job, Grandma. My grandmother was, she was amazing too. Very, very thankful. Very, very thankful for good grandmothers. All right, so read for us Romans 5:1, Tammy.
Okay. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us.
Yes. It's all because of what Christ did on the cross that we stand in this right position, right? We have peace with God, that we are no longer considered a sinner. We're considered you know, just in the same righteousness as Christ because of what our Lord Jesus did. All right, so there's that one. What was one of the other ones?
Ephesians 2:8-9.
Thank you. That would be helpful. Thank you. Shout them out to me. Maybe I can type it better this time. Okay. Ephesians 2:8-9. Okay, let's see what that one says.
God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it.
Perfect. This is, you know, we probably need to add that to this chapter so it, you know, yes. These verses are right there. So make a note of that, please, Miss Tammy. Yes. So God saved us by grace. This is grace. I mean, there's nobody who deserves to have the righteousness of Christ imputed to their account. That's just lavish gift of God's grace, right? You can't take credit for that. It's a gift. It's an amazing, amazing gift. Salvation is not a reward. It's not a reward for doing good things. Like, oh, like that little song from The Sound of Music. I must have done something good, right? No, it's because of God's grace. The reason that you are in this position right now with faith in Christ is just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God. It's all because of him and what he has done in our lives, and having good grandmothers and right, you know, so he's put us in this position to believe. So none of us can boast about it. It's nothing of our own works. It's all because of his grace. All right. So what's the next one?
It is Titus 3:5.
Okay. Titus 3:5. All right. Thank you. About that one.
He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit.
That's right. There you go. I can't improve on that. It's right there. We weren't saved because of the righteous things we'd done. Nope. Because of his mercy. His mercy. He could have said, okay, I'm just, and actually, if you read my book, The Major Clues from Minor Prophets, they're the ones who are attacking God's people, he left them to themselves. And they worship Satan, and he left them. He says, okay, well then fine. If that's what you want to do. And he left them to themselves. The Lord has mercifully not left us to ourselves, and he has washed us. He says he washed away our sins. He gave us a new birth in Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So we have this new life. We're a new creation. This another a new birth is another way to say a new creation. It's an absolute amazing blessing. Okay, so what's the next one?
Galatians 2:16.
All right, shout it out.
Okay. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, and we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law.
Right. So it almost sounds like, well, then you're saying it's not, you don't want me to obey the law. Well, no, that's not. What we're talking about here is why are you justified? Go ahead, say it again.
Oh, no, I just said, what is your motivation was the word that came.
I'm looking for the word and it won't come to my mind. What is the reason for your standing in being in a blameless status? Clearly, our status as blameless in Christ, perfect, the perfect righteousness of Christ, is a gift. This is clearly not from something that we received because we did anything. We received this completely, freely as a gift from the Lord. And that's what I was trying to say. So we were made right, and not even because you believed. That's a work. You didn't receive it because you believe. It's hard to even express. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit that you even believed. There's even a verse that says, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, even the faith is a gift. Even your faith is a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9. So we know that this is all a free gift of God. But on the other side of that coin, you've got one coin. One side is made very clear that you received all this by absolute grace. The other side of the coin is that from that amazing gift, then what flows out of our lives because of that? What do our lives produce because of that? So you think of a kind of a, this is one way to think about it. You've got a plant. the plant is there, and the Lord's, you know, created the plant. First of all, he waters it, and he tills it, and he puts fertilizer on it, and prunes it, does all these things to it. And what do we produce is, hopefully, we produce the fruit. We produce the flowers, right? That's really what now we're going back to this passage here that, okay, we know that we're not saved on the basis of our works. We are, as it says, we're being judged on the basis of our works, but not between hell and heaven. This is about rewards, to see, okay, show me what you got. You live this life. You've been given this gift of this life. What did you produce? And it says that some just buried their gift, right? Remember our Lord Jesus talking about those who buried the gift? And there are others who did not, and they made, you know, 20-fold. And so we want to be those servants that do the 20-fold, right? Okay, so that's how it squares with being justified by faith and not by works, okay? Obviously, our works cannot, we're not just or perfect or blameless in God's sight because of our works, clearly. All right, so now, please read for us number 17.
17.
Yes.
What does James mean in James 2, 18 through 20? Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless?
Right. So really, the evidence of that you have life in you is that you produce fruit. You produce at least some leaves, right? And some fruit. We've got to produce some fruit, some flowers, something. And so this is really what it's talking about here, that you have this faith, because faith without producing the fruit is pointless. It's like, then what in the world? Clearly, there's no life in there. That's really, when you look at all these passages where our Lord Jesus was talking about, pruning back, or even that one tree that was cursed, is because there was no life in it. It was clear that it was not producing anything. So it shows that there's nothing of substance there. All right, so here in James 2, 18, he says, some people say, oh, well, I have all this faith. Others say, I have good deeds. How can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds to go along with it? It's clearly useless. And he says, I will show you my faith by my actions, by my good deeds. All right? And this passage here, James 2:19, the demons have faith. They know every Bible verse. They know who our Lord Jesus is. They know what he did. But do they have a heart to serve him? No. Do they have a heart to produce fruit for him and to benefit the world, and to honor, to bring honor to him? Of course not, right? And they tremble in terror. So there you go. There you go. Does anybody have any questions about that? Well, before we go on, you can pop them in the chat. I'm watching the chat to see if anyone has any questions. Is this making all good sense? I hope this clarifies, what the great white throne judgment is about and our standing in Christ. All right. So just type that in while Tammy reads 18.
Okay. Let's be honest. It would take a long, 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 long time to sit through every court proceeding of every man, woman, and child, small and great. Even forever might not be long enough. Right. Scripture leads us to believe there will be a knowing, much like these verses. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames.
Right.
Does it appear that we will all simply know each other's works, good and bad, without the need for explanation? Yes.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. I think there's just going to be a knowing that happens, and we don't have to rehash all the fine nuances of everything, and because that would be really none of us want to remember any of the things that we've done wrong, and I don't think that that's going to be what we end up doing, spending our time in heaven about. that would be that doesn't sound like heaven to me. But anyway, so I guess was this the very same passage I was reading, or is it?
It's very similar. You did 11 through 13 before, and so.
Okay, so I do have it in there. Okay, all right. Yeah. I should have reviewed this. To be honest, you guys, I was prepared for the next chapter, and when we got in here, Tammy said, "Hey, we didn't finish the last one." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I need to review that." So anyway, but we've studied this many, many times, so we know, you know, basically what it says. But yeah, this is a great passage, and very, very brings a lot of clarity to what's going to happen as far as the rewards this one is not the same one, because the other one was talking about some of your works are either gold or silver.
Right. Well, you started at 11, and here you started 12 through 15.
Oh, okay, that was okay. All right. Okay, good. All right. So yeah, so I'm glad that that one's in here. All right. So I think that that's the case. I think that we'll just know, and so that we'll all know that none of us deserved to be saved. We'll know that. That it's all, you know, like it's not going to be a class of people like, oh, well, those people, you know, they didn't even do anything bad. Everybody's done wrong things, and everyone is indebted to the Lord because of this amazing mercy and grace that he's had on everybody. So I think that that's really what it's going to boil down to. And so, you know, no one can be prideful and go, oh, well, I'm the first class citizen in heaven. that's not going to be the way it is. All right. So now, go ahead.
I was just going to say quickly, that's just like asking us to take 2 million people, illegal immigrants, and put each one of them on trial.
I was thinking the same thing.
We'd
never finish. I would we'd be here forever. Exactly. That's a very good point. So in heaven, we're not going to sit here and rehash all the things that we have done, but we just know, everyone knows that we, you know, are all indebted to our Lord Jesus for what he did to buy this for us. All right. Number 19.
Will believers be judged? What other Bible verses apply? 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body."
Right. So that's the judgment, is to receive what we've done, good or bad. Okay. Again, that's not about a matter of hell or heaven. It's a matter of receiving rewards. All right. All right. Anybody have any other verses that apply? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, part of repenting almost every day is go and sin no more. When we ask for forgiveness, I don't believe those are something we're going to rehash.
I agree. It's under the blood. It's done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. I agree. All right. So any other verses? Does anyone have any other verses that apply to like what I just had in 2 Corinthians 5:10? Did anyone else pull any other verses that talked about how, you know, about the judgment for believers? But again, it's not about judgment between hell and heaven, but about rewards. All right, if anyone does, I'll watch in the chat. Okay, 20.
Try to put into your own words this amazing transformation that will happen on earth. Don't worry if it seems indescribable. Revelation 20:14. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death.
All right. Actually, I found a verse. I forgot that I had this in here. In 1 Corinthians 4:5, it says, "So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of the time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives, and then God will give to each one whatever praise is due." Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know that verse that says, you know, nothing that's hidden in darkness will not be revealed. I think that's kind of what the knowing is. that we'll all know each other's dirt. So it's really important that you live a clean life because you don't want to be ashamed and embarrassed when that day comes, right? But, yeah. You know, of course, I know all of us will. And the great thing is Jesus removes the shame. We just know that, you know, the enemy's tricked us in a lot of different ways. The dark secrets will be brought to light. And it'll even be the motives. It'll even be the motives that'll be revealed. And that's really what boils down to the benefit, the rewards is, you know, what is the person's motive? And so God will give to each one whatever praise is due to them. All right. So back to what you were just reading here in question number 20. Put in your words, your own words, with this amazing transformation that is death and the grave are gone. Can you, okay, put that into words, Tammy, somehow.
I was going to say, no more death, no more sorrow. Everyone lives, you live forever, I guess.
It's yes, kind of like, yes, yes, yes.
You know, never old, not right. New bodies.
Yay!
Maybe I'll wait for that.
No wrinkles, yay, right? It's amazing. No more sickness, no care. More, can you imagine? Yeah. No more sickness. Ugh. Mm-hmm. Now, the millennial kingdom is we're going to have lived long, healthy lives, but there'll still be death during the millennial kingdom, what I'm now calling the golden age, as President Trump has named it. We're going to have long, healthy lives, but there'll still be death until this Gog and Magog. Okay, so that's why it's important that we understand where we're headed as humanity. All right, so if anyone else has another something to add to that, go ahead and put it in the comments. People won't die. They'll think of people like Methuselah. And what, you know, we think of like Methuselah was, you know, old and crotchety, you know, but I don't think that's the case. There's a passage, actually, I think in the book of Jasher, where Jacob is talking to his mother and she was way up there in age. And she said that she actually felt like she says, I think I'm going to die this year. And he says, no way. You still look young. And you're, and I don't think he was just like, just saying that to be nice. I think he was really was. He was like, you don't even look old. You don't even look like you're dying. I think that it'll be, you know, that people will have long, long lives of, you know, think of it like dog years in reverse, where we live long, are youthful for a much longer extended period of time. Okay, so it's not like, okay, you get to be 80 and or 90 and 100, whatever, and you're whatever, gray, all of our gray hair and all that, then it's not going to be like, okay, you're that way for 600 years. It's going to be every phase in our lives will be extended. Remember that passage I read to you guys the other day from the book of Jubilees? I think it was 23. It says that their lives will begin to extend until they reach 1,000 years. So each phase of our lives will begin to extend. Okay, because our mitochondria will be stronger, our DNA will be stronger, our telomeres will be stronger, they won't break down, all of that. And I really think that what has to happen is that we kind of have to have like an age reversal type of thing happen, because there's so much damage to our health. They've done so much to our health. And this is really what we're talking about here on the health page, freedomforce.live/health. We're talking about basically age reversal, really, where we have healing to our bones, healing to our nerves, healing because we're getting the proper food, making sure that we have clean water and we have clean air and we have clean organic food and all that. So just everybody, let's just return to the old ways of doing that, like the Lord said. Anyway, so I thought that was really great. Think of like, you know, old turtles. I put this in the book. Don't think of, you know, that they're old. And somehow or another, they're not affected by some of the things that we're affected by. But they're not like, there's no seeming age is what I guess I'm saying when you look at them. So anyway, but I really think that we're going to have some age reversal. I really do. Especially because even the youth are sick, right? Now, we're going to have where our bodies will heal from all the damage done by the New World Order. Okay, so if anyone has any other things that they want to add, yeah, quantum physics, love it. Bring that on. If that can make us young, age Clay. Lush, vibrant, never old, always new. Think of like in a springtime, all the beautiful plants coming out in the spring and having, you know, new life. Yeah, I think that's, you know, think of it that way. All right, number 21.
Okay. How does Revelation 20:14 compare with 1 Corinthians 15:23-25? But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies, including death, beneath his feet.
Amen. Amen. This is our enemy. Death is our enemy. We've all felt this sting of death. It's awful. It's terrible. And Jesus felt that sting of death when his friend Lazarus died. And he's over there crying because of the sting of death. And he knew, though, that he had to go to the cross and he would stop this sting. And as the Bible says, you know, death, where's your sting? The sting's gone because death is no more at this point. That's what where we're headed in as humanity. All right. So here he says he's going to reign until he humbles all the enemies. You don't necessarily think of death as an enemy, but it is. It's our biggest enemy, really. You know, and beneath his feet, no, and he is the victor over death. Amen. That's the whole point of
Amen.
the resurrection and Easter. All right, so
Yeah.
death is thrown into the fire. Now, we did talk the other day about the resurrection. We talked about that. I think we're going to talk about it here in just a second too. But this is again talking about the Omer, the amazing Omer, that he's the first one to rise, and we are have awakened with him to let me put these back in here. But yeah, to rule and reign with him. And we are the first ones to awaken. Very big honor. I want you to remember that when you are very frustrated and you've got difficulties with friends or family, just remember this is a huge honor that you've received to do that, to awaken. All right, so now 22.
What does Revelation 20:14 mean by the lake of fire is the second death compared to the first death? So see Ephesians 2:1, 1 Corinthians 15:22 regarding the first death.
Okay, well, you know what? I probably should go ahead and pull those up. Ephesians 2:1. Let's do that and see what is the first death. So it's important to know that what is when you see these terms, what does the Bible say that is, right? So here's the first death, Ephesians 2:1.
Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins.
All right, so this is in Adam. We all died. It talks about that in Romans, I think chapter 6. We all died in Adam. We all inherited this sin nature from Adam, this flesh that because of Adam. And we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. And what this means is that our relationship to God was cut off. That's the worst death, is to not have that relationship with God. But the next verse it says, and I didn't pull this one up, it says, but you he made alive. You he made alive. We are a new creation. We have been reborn. It's called born again because now we are alive to God. But this is the first death, right? And it's awful, but that's the situation everyone finds themselves in. But okay, then what is the second death? Okay, so you see, okay, I'm going to go ahead and pull up 1 Corinthians 15:22 while we're looking at the first death. Okay, so we want to make sure we compare the first and the second. This is why we didn't do it all this last time, because you see there's a lot to go into to make sure that we understand the terminology. 15:22, right? Okay, good. All right, read that one for us.
Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life.
There you go. All in Adam have died are dead to God, just don't even have a connection. Think of a like a plug, you know, are not even connected to him. You're just, you know, doing your own thing, easily duped by the devil to do whatever. But everyone who belongs to Christ is given new life. All right? So we have this new life in Christ. Now, so the question is, what does Revelation 20:14 mean by the lake of fire is the second death? Okay? they've already dead to God, but then this second death is this, compared to the first death, it's eternal.
Eternal hell, yes.
Eternal separation. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm going to read to you what I had answered in the teacher guide. Everyone has experienced the first death, which is our separation from God because of sin. As everyone dies because we are Adam's seed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 22. And once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, Ephesians 2, 1. This first death culminates in our physical death. And the Bible talks about a second death. A second death is when the damned are reunited eternally with their rotting corpses, along with everything in hell which is dead and rotting and putrid, always dying and never annihilated. That's awful. So we know that those who have new life in Christ will have our incorruptible bodies. They too will have their bodies, but they'll be corruptible forever. I mean, it's hellish. Okay, so this is the second death, cast into the eternal hell with the corruptible bodies. Okay, that's just the truth. That's why it's only reserved for those who take in demons. That is why hell is not, you know, it's not for just not given as a punishment lightly at all. All right. So now question number 23, could you read that one for
us? Yes. What is the book of life? So it's asking us to look at Revelations 20, 15, 17, 8, 13, 8, and 3, 5.
And those are just talking about, you know, these people whose names were written in the book of life. They have, those who have believed on Christ, their names are in the book of life. We'll pull some of those up. And everyone whose name was written, who had truth, living faith in God. All right, so let's look and see what some of those say. So you can shout them out to me and I can type them.
Okay, Revelation 20, 15.
Okay, thank you. 15. All right. Go ahead.
And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
All right. All right, so it's another one.
Yeah, 17, 8.
Okay.
The beast you saw was once alive, but isn't now, and yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of this beast who had died.
Okay, so clearly it's talking about these ones who sided with demons. You see that, everybody? Revelation 17, 8 is clearly the ones who sided with the demons, who've taken in demons. Those are the ones whose names are not written in the book of life. All right? What's the next one?
13, 8.
All right.
And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made.
Again? This is talking about demon worshipers, clearly. Revelation 13, 8. Those who worship the beast, those who, if you aren't familiar with that, but the mark of the beast, that is people who literally worship Satan. They literally worship the beast. They literally take in demons to have the demons dwell within them. Okay? You can go back and look at some of the older videos if you're not familiar with what that's really about, because we've been misled on that. Okay, these are the ones whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right. And then what's the last one?
3:5.
Revelation 3:5. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will erase their names. I will never erase their names from the Book of Life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine.
Thank you. Got to get that word in there. Yeah, I'll never erase their names from the Book of Life. So their names.
The word never.
Amen. There you go. No, yeah. So this is the Book of Life. All right. So that's what it's talking about right here in this passage. You know, what is this Book of Life we just read in? I just wanted you to see what that means here. Let's see, which verse was that? It's talking about the Book of Life. Is it coming up in another passage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, all right, so I'll find it. All right, and then, okay, number 24, please.
is the lake of fire eternal. And it's telling us some more verses, Mark 9:3.
Okay. So I need to go back. Let's go back right quick and look at Revelation 20. And let's go look and see where we are coming up with these words. And I need to probably put that in this chapter so that it's right there handy for everybody. So it says, this is talking about the Great White Throne Judgment. We saw the dead, small and great, standing before God's throne. And the books were open, including the Book of Life. Okay, so it was right there from verse 12. Okay, so that Book of Life we already discussed includes everyone except those who worship Satan. Okay? Those who literally take in demons and are operating under their power. And then it says the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. They do receive the punishment based upon their deeds. Thankfully, the punishment for our sins has already been taken by Jesus. He already took that punishment. These people have to take their own punishment because they've taken in demons, and so now they are held responsible for their crimes against God, for their sins. Okay. So the sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. All were judged according to their deeds. Death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. That is the second death, complete eternal separation from God. Anyone whose name was not found recorded in the Book of Life was thrown into the lake of fire. So there you go. There's that word, that phrase, the Book of Life, right there in those two places. All right, so back to this passage right here, and they were cast into the lake of fire. So the question is that eternal?
Yes.
Yeah. So what verses do we go to? I'm always like, okay, what way we've got to, yeah, we're going, make sure yeah, we have, Mark, we know from the word.
Yeah. Mark 9:44.
Yep.
And we got 46 and 48 if you want to just do 9 okay. through 48.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. Yes, I'll do that. Okay. So this is where, 44. Where's 44?
Where'd 44 go?
Okay, it must not somehow be in this version. Okay, let's try the NIV.
There. Oh.
Okay, it's okay. Huh. At 44.
Oh, so. It's kind of.
Let's look in the King James. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. They have excluded that. Interesting. They've excluded this from the NLT. Interesting. 44 says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Mm-hmm. Where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Okay, so what is this worm? Is like when people, like maggots, okay? And the fire is not quenched. And it's an eternal misery. The picture is an eternal misery, and it's just you're never getting out. You know, if someone's in misery, if someone's on earth, let's just say if you have a terrible disease and you're racked with pain, you know that when you die, then you'll be in heaven and you won't have any more pain. But in hell, you never have any reprieve. These people will never have any reprieve. They will never be able to get out, and there's no hope. There's zero hope. They are completely cast out and away from God. It's awful. That's why they call it hell. This is why it's reserved for people, for the devil and his angels, and those who took in these devils and angels, the demons. It's awful. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter lame rather than have 2 feet and cast into hell, into the fire that is never quenched. Where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Okay, so maybe it's because it was in 45, so they didn't have it in 44 too. Okay, if your eye causes you to sin, that's why it's really good to compare both versions. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So this is the question. Is hell eternal? Clearly it is. This is what Jesus clearly said. This is all throughout God's word. There are other verses, but you guys can find, other verses if you wanted to share those in the chat. But yeah, this is clearly God's word, and Jesus. It came straight from Jesus' mouth that this is this is the case. All right. So, but thank you, Lord. That's again for praise. He is worthy, and he has bought all of this, our freedom, our emancipation, our liberty, our forgiveness with his own blood. Praise the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. All right. Question number 25, Miss Tammy.
Okay, the beast and the false prophet are judged and cast into the abyss after the Battle of Armageddon. But their final judgment is when they receive back their dead bodies after Gog and Magog, when death is cast into hell also. The spirits of our ancestors in heaven will receive their incorruptible bodies with their amazing abilities, much like our Lord Jesus' resurrected body. But the damned will receive their corruptible bodies at the judgment day. How will this add to their torment? Like our Lord Jesus described with where the maggots never die and fire never goes out. They get no relief. Right. No relief. Night and day.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. This is, I don't think it's really talked about a lot in modern church. Really. But this is no doubt the truth of God's word. This is the blessing for us is that we'll have our incorruptible bodies that will never die. And we're not just going to be spirits. We'll have our incorruptible bodies that can never get sick. And just, you know, got back to like really Adam and Eve were in the garden, paradise truly restored. But for them, this judgment is, it adds to their misery in hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. You know, like we were just reading. So this is the unfortunate truth for them, and this is why the Lord is not willing that any should perish. No one wants anyone in this situation. And he's given them, it's like, why is this taking so long? And I think a big reason for that is because the Lord is giving them chance after chance after time after time after time after time to turn back. So, but it's the reason this is very important is because when you see this, when you see the seriousness of hell, you realize this is not for someone who takes a tattoo to feed their family. Clearly. Anyone who says that, they don't understand what hell's about. And this is not for people who did not, you know, who lived a good life and maybe were misunderstood about what Jesus did on the cross. The Lord is not casting them into hell. The Lord, as I've read to you many times from Romans 2, says, you know, these people are, actually I'm going to go ahead and read it because this is very important. It's very, very important. Romans chapter 2. We've been misled about these things. And it's caused us to become very judgmental and very just happily to throw someone into hell for the slightest thing. And that's, as our Lord Jesus said, you know, you don't know what spirit you are of if someone is doing that. And I'm very sorry to say that the church has fallen into that terrible thought pattern, and it's not a good place to be, because it's not where the Lord is. So here it says, "For many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law." If they didn't have the law and they were worshiping demons, then they will perish in hell without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in God's sight, but the doers. Again, as I was saying before, the Lord is looking at your heart. What is produced from your heart? What are your actions that prove what's in your heart? For when the Gentiles, who don't even have the law, by nature do the things in the law, they obey God from the heart because it's in their heart, not because of anything on a piece of paper, but from their heart they're obeying God. Although they've not even had the law, they're a law to themselves. They show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience is bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or excusing them. We know, all of us know people who maybe don't believe in Jesus as the Savior, that his blood paid for sin. I was just talking with a dear friend. She was raised in a Muslim and just kind of barely Muslim. She doesn't really understand exactly all about Jesus. And she's a good person as far as her conscience. She follows her conscience, the God's spirit in her heart. She's following him. She doesn't understand, but she's following him and from her heart, the best that she knows how. The Lord has not reserved hell for them, for people like that. And anybody who wants to argue with me, come on. Because this is the, you know, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He does not want people to end up in hell forever in this horrible judgment. And it's not because people who have maybe been misunderstood about who Jesus is. It's, you know, that's not what hell is for. Hell is reserved for people who've taken in demons. Amen, Tammy?
Amen.
That's the truth. Praise the Lord. The Lord is so just and so righteous and so fair. And the thing is, the Lord Jesus died for sinners that don't even realize it. They may not even realize he died. The people who are, you know, have a mental incapacity to understand. He died for them. Even whether they ever understand it and can piece it together. None of us can really fathom the depths and the riches of the love of God and what Jesus did for us. So, anyway, the Lord has said very clearly that this is reserved. Hell is reserved for the devil and his angels and now those who have taken in demons to act under their unction. All right, so now I wanted to read to you one other thing before we go. But, okay, read to us 26, Miss Tammy, please.
Okay, so now that you have studied this chapter, I will ask this question again. Why do you think the Gog and Magog battle is hardly ever discussed?
Right. I'm telling you, it makes it very clear where we are on the timeline. Mm-hmm. Because then you see, okay, that's when we'll have this amazing miracle of the incorruptible bodies and heaven on earth when we have heaven and earth merge. And that's going to be next week. Heaven and earth are going to merge next week. And so this, right, go ahead.
In our study, at
right.
least.
Right. And so this
could
is,
happen.
Right. Well, no, actually it could because it's not 1,000 years from now. But anyway, the point is, this is the beautiful truth. And once you realize this timeline of Gog and Magog, is 1,000 years after the 1,000 years of peace on earth, then you realize where we are on the timeline is we're in the middle of Armageddon. And we're going to cast out these demons. The beast and the false prophet will soon be cast out. So, all right. So the other thing, yes, amen. That makes sense. This is why they got a hold of this teaching and they said, nope, we don't want any of this to come out because if they do, they'll piece this together. They'll understand, and then they'll fight. And they did not want that. Okay, so that's why they took over.
And they even put it out in our heads that Revelation is scary and Revelation is hard, so don't study Revelation.
Right.
I mean, I heard that in churches more than anything else, is that we very rarely teach on Revelation. It's just a really hard.
And it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just going to admit.
It was just the mindset.
I agree with that. But the other thing, when we go back to the very beginning of this entire study, these things were hidden from us for a long time. Revelation was hidden from us. And, you know, I could have imagined that some things would be revealed to us. Mm-hmm. But until the Lord revealed to you mm-hmm. who we're fighting, that these people literally worship demons and what they have done to children, mm-hmm. and you realize these people are demons, mm-hmm. we just did not, could not imagine it, okay, until it was revealed to us, right? All right, so I'm going to read to you super quick from sacred-texts.com, sacred-T-E-C-T-S. I'm just going to have him pop this into the chat so you guys can have this, and maybe Songbird can put it in the comment section. These wonderful people have taken these ancient texts and they have popped them onto the internet so that we can read them. And so this is what happened, a text that was from Adam and Eve after they left the garden, after they were cast out of the garden, and they're in deep anguish over that. And remember how in this passage we were talking about there'll be no more, that there'll one day be no more darkness. Mm-hmm. Here it's, and so you might want to read this and also to prepare for next week when it talks about there'll be no darkness, that the Lord will be our light. This is about paradise restored. So I want to give this to you guys to prepare for next week. Okay. Adam wept in deep affliction and smote his breast, and he arose and said to Eve, "Where art thou?" And she said to him, "Lo, I am standing in this darkness." He said to her, "Remember the bright nature in which we lived while we abode in the garden? Oh, Eve, remember the glory that rested on us in the garden? Oh, Eve, remember the trees that overshadowed us in the garden while we moved among them? Remember that while we were in the garden, we knew neither night nor day." So, you know, I really think that this, I mean, this is where we're headed, back to paradise restored. It's hard for us to imagine, so because we're so accustomed to having the night and the day. This is the pattern, obviously, that we've had since the garden. But they didn't have that. And next, when you study for next week, it talks about that there'll be this the Lord is our light, and there'll be no more sun, because the Lord is our light, and no more there no more darkness. It's amazing. All right, so I just wanted you to see that and maybe review some of that, and kind of it coincided with something we were reading today in this chapter. What was it?
Out of the darkness.
Huh? What is it? What were you thinking?
Oh, out of the darkness.
Yeah.
Into the light.
Yeah, there was something else. Something else that I was thinking of that we were reading. I don't know. I don't know which verse it reminded me of. But either way, you might want to just read that. And also, here's verse chapter 17 of that same ancient text. They were talking about, for so long, in verse 9, for so long as we were in the garden, we neither saw nor even knew what darkness is. I was not hidden from Eve, neither was she hidden from me until now that she cannot see me. No darkness came upon us to separate us from each other. But she and I were both in one bright light. I saw her and she saw me. Yet now, since we came into this cave, darkness has come upon us and parted us asunder so that I do not see her and she does not see me. It was really, really scary for them. They didn't know what darkness was. So, and really, darkness is indicative of the sin that has come upon the world. And then when our Lord Jesus conquers death, he conquers darkness too. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? All right, so I want you to see that. Is there anything else that you guys have that you're thinking of? I'll read the chat if there's anything else there. But I think that's pretty much everything. Is there anything else you can think of that we wanted to mention about this chapter, Tammy?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Great job, everybody. We got another one down. And now, chapter 25, which is actually Revelation chapter 21. And that's where it talks about there'll be a new heaven and a new earth to go along with our new bodies. You got to have a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to happen in just like that. The twinkling of a moment, everything will be made new. Again, this is not until after the 1,000 years of peace on earth. All right, so that's what I want you to prepare for next week. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you that you have bought all this for us. You are worthy to open these seals and break open the seals and open the scroll because you bought this with your own blood. You're the one who's worthy to reveal all this. Thank you that you have revealed this to us. Thank you that you've helped us to understand the wonderful truth about end times and the beautiful future that we have on earth and even into the 1,000 years that we will have this amazing heaven and earth merging with our incorruptible bodies. Amazing what you have planned for us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what you have prepared for those who love you. We love you. We praise you. I thank you for everyone on the battalion. I pray you continue to strengthen them, help them to just be full of faith and joy and believing in what you've bought for us. Lord, I thank you that you are rescuing humanity. You are saving us from these demons and that they will be cast into the pit, never to come out again. But we will be saved. You didn't come to condemn the world. You came to save. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are merciful, even when we don't even understand. You're merciful and you're gracious to us and you're pouring out your blessings on us all the time, whether we understand or not. Thank you that it's not based upon our understanding, but it's all based upon your great love. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to have our hearts connected to you, that we would honor you with our hearts and our lives so that we'll be counted worthy and that you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, that we'll be able to receive great rewards that we can cast right back and say, it's all because of you. It's all because of you. Help us to be a blessing wherever we go. Like I think it's our wonderful H. Clay is always saying, everybody go be the hands and feet of Jesus. Help us to be, to speak your truth, your word everywhere. As we've done this study, we aren't thinking on our own wisdom. This is not about our wisdom, Lord. We give honor to you that it is your word. We believe your word, whatever you say in your word, that is truth. And Lord, I thank you that you are guiding us into all truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continually guide us into all truth. Guide us on what to do today with the time that you've given us. Give us the wisdom to know what to do with our, where to, what to watch and what to research, what to put in our bodies, what to do to help to maintain our health so we can live these long, long, healthy, extended lives. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. So glad we're here together. I'm so glad that we have our battalion. I love you so much. Thank you so much, everybody, for your sweet, sweet comments. I love you so much. Continue to pray because I'm telling you, God is hearing your prayers. I've got so many things I want to share with you. And I just, yeah, we'll talk about that. Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow morning. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Again, don't forget to go on freedomforce.live and get all the resources over there. Check out the health. Check out the videos. Make sure you're on all the social media. And you can listen to the audiobook. Share the end times page. All these things that we can help people to come out of all the deception. All right. I guess we'll go. Love you guys. Anything else, Miss Tammy?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Love you guys. And we will talk to you later.